Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para-X Radio.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
Hi, Kurt Smith here, telling you to listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio, Friday evenings, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
Everybody, welcome to Soul Seeker Supernatural Radio. I'm Gil, your host. Sarah Jane's here next to me, sitting in the chat room. I want to first apologize beforehand. I'm battling a bit of a respiratory infection, so if you hear me cough or sputter, I do apologize, but I'll do my best to hold the coughing back. We missed the show last week because we were away working on a project, but we're glad to be back this week, and we've got two special guests tonight. One is our good friend Ray Jordan. Ray and I did a podcast a few weeks ago because we had him scheduled on, but I had unfortunately double booked, and we recorded an hour of Ray and I speaking, but now we're glad to have him back for the full 2 hours tonight. And we also have another special guest tonight, and her name is Haley Stevens. She's from Wiltshire Phenomenon Research. And are you both? Oh, cool. Now, Ray, everybody knows, is an international ghost hunter. You're with Paranormal 5, is that right, Ray?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Feedback. UK5.
UK5. Paranormal. I'm mixing it up with your program.
Okay. UK5 Paranormal is the team, and Paranormal 5 is the TV series.
Right. And what are you working on now?
Basically, we're just recruiting at the moment. We're looking for one investigator. We found our medium, who is very unlike any other medium we've ever met before. And so once we find our investigator, we will be doing quite a few investigations throughout the year, which will be quite interesting.
So You have a new medium then.
Yeah, we found Lee. He wrote a local paper, and to be honest, Gil, I thought, and Hayley will laugh at this, and I thought, oh, crumbs, not another freaking medium, you know, stereotypical medium, you know, all the woo and la la la. But he's really, really nice. He's a genuine guy. And he's the only reason, how can I say it? I can liken him to the style of Ian Lawman. He doesn't give a monkey's. He's totally different from anyone I've ever worked with, put it that way.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
That sounds exciting.
Because unfortunately, when we've done investigations, and I think Hayley's been on one of them, there was a bit of fakery going on.
Yeah, I know what you're
talking about. Unfortunately, we all witnessed it, and I did my, honestly, because she was a team member, I did my very best to cover it up and say, no, you know, it wasn't going on.
It can make it very awkward when that does go on, because obviously you don't want to isolate one person from the rest of the group, but at the same time it sours the experience for everybody else.
Sure.
So I can imagine it was difficult for Ray at the time.
It was, and I think one of the reasons I left that former team to create, you know, UK 5 was because we were doing a place in Warminster called Sutton Veney House.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenged this person. She was doing the divination around the table,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing it. The glass was going about 100 miles an hour, which I thought was hysterical. Absolutely did.
Right.
And I said, okay, if there's a spirit in the room, I'm going to write something on a bit of paper, and I want you to spell it out round the table. So Wayne and I went across to the other side of the room, wrote this thing on a bit of paper, and folded it up. And I said, well, come on then, let's see what we can do. And it's really funny, I'm going to have to stop myself. Do you know what the glass spelled?
No.
Really, do you know what it spelled?
I do know what it spelled, Ray, yes.
What did it spell?
It's a bugger you, Ray, didn't it?
Really?
Yes.
Yes. And to me, that was the ultimate, leaving point, and I had to go.
Yeah.
The team I created with this other person, I had to go. And I think my view of the paranormal, I think we've had this conversation before, Gil, mm-hmm. has completely turned around and changed.
Yeah.
Absolutely changed. I don't believe everything is paranormal. I will challenge anything now.
Yeah, well, that's good, though. That's the way it should be.
You do find that it's the odd occasion like that that does turn you to make you look at things in a different light. And I mean, we've all had experience like that, I think. Anybody who investigates like we do,
right.
Is made to sometimes step back and evaluate what they're doing. Sometimes it's not always other people that make you feel like that. Sometimes it's it could be a location or a series of events.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with regards to the board spelling out what it did, I think Ray had no choice but to go on and take a further step from there.
I had to, because I had to be honest to myself. And, you know, what if, say, for instance, what if that team was the team that was on TV,
right.
and that was displayed on TV? I'd not only be shocked, I'd be embarrassed. I'd probably be on certain websites.
Sure. not to name any.
You know, which is like bad psychics. I'd probably be outed.
Right.
As a fraud.
Sure.
You know, I can't be part of that. And that's one reason I had to walk away. And because I walked away, the person who I used to run the team with hasn't spoken to me for nearly 2 years.
Really?
Well, yeah, which is no skin off my nose, because I know I did the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. If it ever came back, then at least you would have that you had made that decision and you had gone your separate way. It can't come back to haunt you.
That's
right.
I think this person probably could do. I'll probably look up in the sky and see her whizzing around, but
that's pretty much the norm for the programs on television now, at least the paranormal programs. I mean, they've all been accused of faking it now.
I think, yeah, they have, and to some extent people have to remember that the television shows out there are entertainment shows, and they bring the paranormal to our front rooms, and it's interesting, and it makes the interest broader, you know, in the general public. but then there's this extent where they have to bring in the viewers. It's their job, you know, as a television program. So there are going to be those few instances where things are going to be exaggerated or enhanced.
Right.
And I think as long as the viewing public remember that, then they can't really be accused of being misled. But it's when people hook onto those programs and believe everything to be completely true, then, you know, then they are going to be taken in by them. But you just got to remember, I mean, I used to watch shows where I'm like Most Haunted and other shows like that when they all started coming out, and I took everything in, and I sit back now and I think, well, why did I take it in? Because I know that it's an entertainment show.
Right.
But, and I think the more you watch it, you just need to remember in the back of your mind that some of it might be, you know, paranormal or unexplainable at the time, but you can't believe that everything on there is going to be strange.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people, you know, that are religious diehard viewers of like Most Haunted, and regardless what's been said or what you tell them, they believe everything they see on there.
Yeah. And I do believe, obviously everybody's entitled to believe what they want when they watch those shows, but from personal experience, where I've been out doing investigations myself, and I've personally been to locations, I'm not going to name them, but places that have purposely faked activity, and you just have to be careful with how you review things when they're presented to you in a certain way, in the way that they people want you to see them, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And you just have to sit back and make your own decision on what you see.
Well, it's defeating the purpose to cheat. I mean, it's not doing anybody any good. It's just making the paranormal world, which is already doesn't have the best reputation, seems to be getting worse. And, you know, people that cheat, is just, you know, a snowball effect, and it's going to make it even worse than it is now.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, carry on.
No. I was going to say, I think particularly in how can I be diplomatic about this? I think it's going to get better, but I think it's going to take a lot of time. But I think people need to take stock of how they investigate. You know, it doesn't. Hang on. How can I word this without putting my foot in it? There's been a lot of crap, okay, going around in the paranormal for quite some time, and I think it can only get better. And I think if people retrain their thought process of how to do investigations, how to think, how to be logical, you know, not, if I bang on the door, they're not going to say, oh my God, it's a ghost, I can feel them, they're here.
Right.
I've experienced before. I think they would think totally different about the paranormal.
I agree.
Yeah.
In a good way.
I agree. What are your thoughts on, well, just say paranormal unity? We know how there's so much competition and backstabbing, and it's just getting out of
there
hand.
There is a lot of what I like to call paranormal politics.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I know that it definitely happens in Wiltshire and in England, and it's something that I think we all experience at some time, and it's easy to get caught up in it, and I certainly have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help it sometimes. If you try, you know, if you get quite involved in the community, then sometimes it can come back and bite you, and I know Ray's experienced it, and I've experienced it, and it can get quite nasty sometimes, but I found the best thing to do is just to focus on what you want to do.
Right.
Focus on the goals of your team, and just get on with it. And I found, and that's what I've been doing for probably the last 18 months, and I've just been getting on with what I originally set out to do. And the bitterness in the community, although there's a bitterness in the community, there's also a really nice side to the community as well.
Sure.
You can make some really good friends, and you can learn a lot from one another.
Right.
And in the last 18 months, where I've pulled myself away from the bitter side of the community and just gotten on with it, I've seen that much more. And if you just focus on what you're doing, and you'll find that the nicer side comes out, and the people who aren't necessarily bitter, maybe hiding behind like a kind of, you know, like a mask of niceness when it's not actually true. They kind of go out of focus, and you can focus on the people who really have the same kind of goals as you.
Right.
And the nicer side of the paranormal community does come out.
Gosh, I've been called a media whore. I've been accused of whoring it around. Paranormal. I've been a local team to here, which is the other side of where Hayley and myself is. I've been threatened with the paranormal curse, for God's sake.
I had that too, actually.
The paranormal curse.
The paranormal curse is upon my head, and you're like, okay, and then you kind of you laugh at it, but then after a while, it does kind of get to you if you keep focusing on it.
Sure.
And I've actually had threats made. People phoning me up and threatening me, and I've actually even had, I think it's the same team that you're talking about, right? I had this team phone my place of work and say derogatory things to my employer, and luckily I'm quite good friends with my employer, so they didn't buy it for 1 minute, but to think that that happens in a community where everybody is essentially after the same goal, you know, we're all out there to either, you know, to find the truth, essentially.
Right.
No matter how we go about it, whether we believe, we don't believe, we're scientific, or we're spiritual, then we're all after the same thing. It's for people to turn against one another like that, it's quite horrendous. So when you do find someone who, or a group that you can really bond with, it makes it so much better. It really does. And I know at the time when I was getting all this trouble, it did get me quite down. And I even considered stopping what I was doing. And then I just started to focus on the positive, and it really does help if you do that. And like you were saying, the negative side of the community can give a real bad image to paranormal investigation as a whole.
Right.
And it's difficult to kind of raise above that and show people that actually not all people involved in paranormal investigation are like that. There are some really decent people out there who do this research, and it's decent research. And I think, really, that needs to be brought to the forefront, because some of the representation that we're given as a community is really quite bad, and it's quite scary to think that we're all maybe tarred with that same brush.
Right, exactly. If everybody would just concentrate, you know, on searching for the proof of the paranormal instead of the backstabbing and, you know, the competition, it would be so much better.
Yeah, definitely.
Have either of you heard of the UK BPA?
The Paranormal Alliance,
British Paranormal Association, yeah.
That's
their main goal, is to try and unite, you know, paranormal groups and venues, you know, so everybody works together and weed out the chafe from, you know, keep the good groups out there and the bad ones, to try and eliminate them, or at least make them known to people so, you know, they can be avoided. And venues also. I mean, some of these venues now, since these programs have been on television, just charge outrageous amounts to hold investigations at, and they're just taking advantage of the situation.
We had a location stay, actually. We contacted them. We were passed on the information about this location, how amazing it was. And we contacted them, and they wanted us to pay in the region of £1,000 for one night's investigation. I wish I had that money, you know. It was just ridiculous.
It is.
That's amazing, because I had something very similar last year for Halloween. It was somewhere in Somerset. It was the... I wouldn't say where it was, in case anyone... that location, but they wanted to charge us nearly $2,000.
Really?
Four hours. From 7. Can you believe that? And I said, I tell you what, you can keep your 4 hours. I'll go somewhere else.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's crazy, because everyone's cashing in, you know, and...
Sure.
We don't charge. We've never charged for an investigation, ever.
Right, same here.
Ever, and I don't think Hayley has as well, ever.
No, I wouldn't be able to. When we're contacted by people who want us to go in, it's normally because they're at their wit's end, and I feel that it would be an insult if we then slapped a price on what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go in there to help them, to try and get to the bottom of what's going on. If we then say, "And here's your bill," I just think that would be a bit of an insult at the end of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What do you think about, you know, there's companies out there now that, you know, will take you to a haunted venue and charge you £80 for the night. And do you disagree or agree with groups that do that?
It depends, really.
No, I was going to say, I personally don't have a problem with that at all, but it's not something that I would do with our team. I wouldn't do... I do charity events, that's not a problem, but I wouldn't do a public event and charge people to come on that event.
Right.
But if organised companies want to do it, that's fine. That's you know, that's their lookout. But it makes it more difficult for teams like ours to gain access to these locations because they want to charge the earth for them.
Right, exactly.
It is getting harder and harder to find decent locations that haven't been featured on TV,
yeah,
and that they won't sting you for money.
Exactly.
Well, one of the reasons that we mainly investigate, like I said, small locations that are not very well known to be haunted, is because I feel companies that do charge money for people to go on the investigations, they go to these locations probably at least probably four times a year. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people there, and it is raising a lot of money for locations that maybe need the funding, you know, like charity-run places, which is, I think is brilliant. But it also kind of influences your investigation. If you have a lot of people going to the same locations that are famously haunted,
right,
you know that there's a grey lady there or there's a blue boy there, and you go in there and you probably might expect to encounter that, whereas these like little locations that you go into, you can go in there with your team and they won't know anything about what's happened, and you can really control the investigation that way. There's no power of suggestion going on.
Right.
And also, I think with, I don't know about yourself, Ray, if you agree or not, but with companies that do take people into locations, I haven't got a problem, just like yourself, but I feel when they start to call themselves paranormal investigation evenings, and they're not actually conducting a paranormal investigation, it can give a misguided view of what paranormal investigation is about, you know. If they're going in to entertain members of the public, then I think that's fine. I mean, everybody's entitled to that.
Sure.
It might, if they've got an interest in it and they don't have the ability to form a team of their own or join a team, then of course it's their entitlement to go out and pay £80 to go and visit a famously haunted location that, you know, with a famous ghost, but don't pass it off as a paranormal investigation if it's not a proper study of that location. Because we've had people join our team in the past who have been on these events and think that our investigations are going to be the same, and they get bitterly disappointed.
I agree. That's a very good point.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of charity events, Ray, it's a nice segue into your charity work that you're doing. You want to explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. It's called Famous and Frightened, and basically I take well-known people,
mm-hmm,
is something to raise money for charity. Each event we do will be for a different charity cause. It's all self-funded by myself and the small team I've got involved. All the well-known people give up their time. And basically how we do it now, we actually get the well-known people to donate certain items,
mm-hmm,
and then we hold a celebrity auction, and then all proceeds from there will go to the charity.
Oh, that's cool. Now, you've done one, which you did, what, last April?
Yeah, that was the very first one, and that was a learning curve. We had some interesting people, say the least, on that one. a lot of reality people we had on that one. But through that, I've learnt a lot, and the next one will be very, very well constructed. And I've actually got a creative director called Nori Miles, who is David Wells, the medium David Wells, his manager. So she's going to be on board now.
Oh, great. Yeah.
It should be a really good event when we can sort out when to do it.
I was just going to ask you if you had a date sorted out for the next one.
I think it's going to be around June or July.
Oh, great.
I believe, yeah.
And that'll be on your website, obviously.
Yeah, as soon as we've sorted out more details, I can put it on the website.
Okay, everybody, Ray's website is rayjordan.com. That's Jordan, J-O-R-D-E-N. And Haley, your website is w-p-r.org, correct?
That's right, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking to Ray Jordan and Haley Stevens. Make sure you don't go away. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
For the latest news in the paranormal world, listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio live on PowerX every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time. That's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hey, what's up? This is Glenn. I'm speaking for
a public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. like to be a guest on Soul Seekers Radio, visit our website or contact us at soulseekers@ntlworld.com.
This is the Power X Radio Network.
When a child is abducted, every second counts. That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System, helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet Broadcasting Community and this station.
Hi, everybody. We're back. Welcome to Soul Seekers Radio. Bless you, Sarah Jane. She's sneezing in the background. We're here with Ray Jordan and Haley Stevens. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sarah, okay. I was just sneezing in the background. I think she's catching what I'm just getting over.
Oh, dear.
I have a question for you, Haley. I was just looking at your website. Do you deal with all sorts of paranormal, like UFOs and other things, not just ghosts?
We do. We get a lot of reports in of different types of phenomena. But I am, personally, I'm more into ghost phenomena. Just for personal reasons, but we do have friends who deal with UFOs. There's a group called SUFOR, which is based in Swindon near us. They deal with UFO phenomena on a phenomenal scale, and anything we get reported that we can't help with, we pass over to them.
Uh-huh.
And we've also got friends who deal with anything like ABCs, alien big cats, or other creatures, you know, that people think they've seen. These guys go out and look for the monsters, you know, they're monster hunters, they love it. Whereas me, I'd rather be sitting inside where the monsters can't get me, but the ghosts can, you know. We welcome reports of anything a bit strange. If you think you've seen something a bit spooky or something you can't explain, then we want to hear about it, you know.
And people can report that to you on your website?
They can, yeah. We're also, fingers crossed, in the process of setting up a paranormal hotline for the local area and possibly for the rest of the UK as well, through which they can report any kind of phenomena to us. And we promise to get a response from somebody who works in that area as soon as we possibly can to them. And obviously that's fully confidential.
Cool. The Lincolnshire turbine, you know, the big wind turbine that...
Yes. Sorry. I was really... Carry on, sorry.
I just wanted to see what your views were on that.
Mm. Yeah, sorry. it was interesting. I have this kind of mixed view when things are reported in the media about the paranormal. Mm-hmm. We've got a certain newspaper over here in England that aren't exactly very critical when it comes to the paranormal. I'm not going to name them, but I'm sure anybody listening might be able to guess who they are. On one hand, I think it's brilliant that they're bringing the paranormal to the forefront. You know, it's no longer as taboo as it used to be, mm-hmm. and that's brilliant because people are more likely to come and speak to people like me and Ray who can possibly help them and are interested in what they've experienced. On the other hand, it gives people this kind of this feeling that they can label anything as paranormal,
right,
when it might just be currently unexplainable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with the turbine... The turbines being broken like they were, it was strange, and everybody was like, "Oh, I wonder what that could have been."
Right.
But I wasn't convinced that it was paranormal straight away. There wasn't anything really for me that pointed to it being a UFO. I know somebody had seen a light, and then a couple of hours later, the turbines were broken.
Right.
But I wasn't personally. I couldn't see how those two incidents were connected. I just felt that it had just been connected for the sake of it.
Right.
And I was very skeptical about that. And then it came back recently, the reports came back saying that the first blade had broken and damaged the second blade, and there was no, I can't remember if there was no sign of something colliding or not, but it had been ruled out that it was paranormal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But when reports like that come through, I'm kind of sceptical of them. And there was another one recently, Ray, wasn't there, about a haunted sofa in Bristol?
Was there?
Yeah. I did, yeah. And I remember watching the local news and hearing the sounds that they could hear, and I was thinking, how is that a ghost? And then they said that it could be an alien, and I was thinking, well, why is there an alien in your sofa? That just makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I mean, it was very comical, I must admit, not only because of the fabric, but But, you know, my first thoughts were something, some toy stuck in the bottom of this sofa.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's making this...
It was terrible.
But it just reminded me of a friend of mine who had once had this sofa delivered to their house, and they found that it was infested with these little beetles that didn't come out until... the room was heated up, and then they started making these scratching noises as well. And I was thinking, well, surely it could be a bug, or it could be, like you said, a toy or something that's down the back of the sofa. But no, these people instantly jumped to that it was a ghost or an alien. They instantly said that it was something they couldn't explain. And when people do that, I kind of back off thinking, well, why? Why have you linked it to that straight away?
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
So many people jump to conclusions straight away that it's paranormal.
And, exactly.
And whether it's ghost hunting or UFOs or anything, which...
I mean, Gil, say 3 years ago when I first started really seriously doing this, I probably would have believed it, to be honest.
Now
as I've progressed in my own journey, mm-hmm. and, you know, with what we all do, I just think it's a laughable thing that the press, obviously, the media did. It obviously had nothing else to report, no school fate opening or something. Oh, that's a haunted sofa. You know?
Have you ever had a look on eBay? It's amazing the haunted items that people sell on eBay.
Yeah, like the haunted toys and stuff, and people buy them as well. And you wonder, is that because you believe that it's haunted? Or maybe it's something you collect? But it's very strange. Very strange what you can pass off these days as paranormal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's one thing about the programs. You know, it's just, like you said earlier, it's brought the paranormal to the forefront, and people aren't as intimidated to admit, you know, that maybe their house is haunted or maybe they've seen a ghost, whereas before you'd... people would just think that they're crazy.
Yeah, you'd be like the village weirdo if you said that you thought that there was a dead person in your house.
Exactly.
And people who went around looking for possible, you know, spirits, they used to get locked up, and it's come such a long way now where you can go into your library and read up about ghosts, or you could be talking to a complete stranger and they'll tell you about weird things that have happened to them, whereas before it was very secretive, you know.
Exactly.
And people hadn't really... heard of people that did paranormal investigation, and now it's like there's probably at least half a dozen teams just in Wiltshire, and I hate to imagine how many there are all over England, and I think that's a brilliant thing, really.
Yeah, it is. It's the same.
Do you think so?
Well, I think it depends on the team. Like we were discussing earlier on, you get those... Well, it's hard to say good and bad teams, who's to judge who, but you get the teams that do the research and bring the breakthroughs, you know, into possible causes for phenomena. You get the teams who go out there to prove it to themselves, and you get those who just go out for a good scare. I think it's good that we have people there making the breakthroughs, people who are making the discoveries into things like infrasound and other such things causing ghostly phenomena. But there are obviously some teams that do let the kind of field down, I think.
True.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, but don't you find that since the explosion of programs that there's more and more teams popping up that, you know, more for the fast track ticket for fame?
Yeah, there is.
I mean, you could say to me that oh, but your team's been on TV, but that was, you know, we didn't go seeking for that. That was just an opportunity for a series.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad to say that there was no running around, there was no this, that, and the other, you know,
with our series. You do get the stereotypical teams who they have, you know, the set roles in their teams, and it is all, like, nose shots and night vision and of them running around haunted buildings in the dark, and there is that side to paranormal investigation, which has been brought forward, I think, by... ghost shows on television, you know, most haunted people do. I don't know if you've ever heard the term doing an event where, you know, you're running around in the dark screaming, shooting up your nostrils with a camcorder. But there are people that do that. I mean, there have been the odd occasion where I've done that, actually. But, you know, and then you do get your other researchers who are stepping forward and making these discoveries in the field that are actually quite critical, I think, to understanding what the paranormal is, you know, in a sense of breaking down the phenomena and finding an explanation for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
Thank you.
a weird 09.
Aha, yes, that's mine. Yeah, weird 09. What could be said about weird 09? It's a paranormal conference, but it's going to be a paranormal conference with a big difference. I personally know the guys who are behind this conference, and they're both dedicated researchers in the paranormal field.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, at the moment, they're like children with toys. It's brilliant. They're so excited about this thing. They're bringing it to Wiltshire. There's never been anything like it before in this area. It's in August, over the August bank holiday, and it's being held in Ray's hometown of Warminster. In a theatre there. And they're going to have speakers from all over the UK, from Nick Pope to me. I'm doing a speech there as well. I don't know why they've got me there. You know, you've got somebody like Nick Pope, who's like known all across the country for the work he does, and then you've got me, who nobody knows, doing these speeches.
I think you put yourself down there. I think you've got quite a brewing reputation, Hayley, because you've become very outspoken with your views and opinions, which is very refreshing. I mean, I used to see some of your blogs, and I thought, oh my God, how could she say stuff like that? But where my opinion has changed of the paranormal in the last probably 18 months to 2 years, I totally agree with a lot of stuff you say now.
I think the big turnaround for myself, I used to be a very big believer in an afterlife and ghosts. Anything you threw at me, I'd go, yeah, I believe that, you know. I was up for anything. You'd find me doing table tipping, all sorts. I fell, you know, for all that kind of thing. And then there was an investigation at a pub that was about 2 hours from my house. I'm not going to say where it is because I don't want to harbour any bad feelings for anybody. Mm-hmm. But we went there, we travelled so long to get there, it was a really horrible day out. We got there, we started the investigation, it felt like it was going to be a really promising one. And we split into two groups, and the other group that I wasn't with were in a room, and they had a glass thrown across the room. And they heard a smashing, they went down to investigate, and they thought it was amazing. They're like, wow, we've caught this poltergeist activity or some kind of activity on camera,
mm-hmm.
only to find the landlord of the pub hiding behind the door.
Really?
And it was a real letdown, and it really, it kind of got to me, and it made me think, what else have I been taken for a fall on? And that's when I did become quite outspoken about research and stuff like that. And yeah, maybe that's why I'm being asked to speak at Weird 09, I'm not sure. But it should be an interesting a conference, because not only have they got the speakers with maybe their slideshows behind them, they've also got some brilliant film editors working on these projects that are going to be shown between the speakers. There's also a chance for members of the public to take part in the annual Warminster Skywatch for free of charge, you know, and that's up on Cradle Hill, which is well known for the sightings that were there, you know. I think there was it something like over 500 sightings over 5 years there, Ray, or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
It was known as the Warminster thing. And Kevin Goodman, who is he runs a site called Warminster UFO. He's keeping the flame burning, as he says in his own words. And I think he's running the Skywatch. People can go up there and they can see what it's all about. Because I think there's this whole, not necessarily a whole image of UFO researchers as being like a bit like train spotters, maybe, you know, a bit geeky and everything. But that's not actually the truth, you know. It's quite a misconception of them, and I think he's going to show people what it's all about. And also, Weird 09 is giving people the chance to participate on a paranormal investigation that my WPR are going to be helping out with. So it should be great. It should be really interesting. It's going to be. It's the first time something like that's been held in Wiltshire, so it's going to be really interesting.
Is this the first one they've done, the first conference they've put together?
Yeah, this is the first one these guys have done, and hopefully they're hoping that they can then go on and do a weird 10, a weird 11, depending on the success of this one. And also, the conference is going to be helping to raise money for, I think it's a baby or a children's unit in Swindon Hospital. I can't remember the exact name of the charity, but they're raising funds for that as well, so it's for a great cause as well.
I think, yeah, the website for that, well, you have a link on your site, Hayley. But
also, yeah, there's a
www.mystical-county.org.uk. For the Weird 09 conference. It sounds really promising.
It does, and I know the guys behind it are really excited, and they're really enthusiastic about it, and that kind of rubs off on everybody that's involved, and there's a lot of hard work that's gone into it, and I can't wait to see the outcome. Because when I'm not on the stage, I'm going to be sitting in that audience. I can't wait for it. There's some really great people speaking.
Yeah, it looks like it. Are you going to that, Ray? You going to be there?
You have to. When is that? When
is August bank holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah, 29th and the 30th. You have to go. It's in your hometown.
Of course I have to go.
You have to. Yeah.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
What's your view, Ray, on UFOs?
UFOs. I'm very open-minded about the whole subject. I mean, I've spoken to Kevin myself ages ago. This is quite some time ago, because I've got an interview with him on our website. And, you know, I've often, you know, walked up to Clay Hill, which is a big hill.
Did I get it wrong? Is it not Cradle Hill?
Well, there's a couple, isn't there? There's Cradle Hill and there's Clay Hill.
Oh, right, okay.
I think there's a couple of them.
We've
often just been up there, you know, and just been watching. And, you know, it's always one of those things, what if, and and the buts. And there's definitely no anoraks, and there's definitely no carrier bags, and no notepads, and, you know, it's nothing like that at all.
I was always interested in UFOs long before, you know, I really thought about ghosts, really. I only had one ghostly experience when I was in high school, but it wasn't until I moved here to England and met Sarah Jane that my curiosity really peaked in ghosts and the afterlife. But UFOs have been one thing I've always been fascinated in.
Well, maybe you guys should come down to the conference, too. I think it would be a good experience for you.
Yeah, I think we should. I agree. It sounds really good. So what else, you said the two of you have worked together on quite a few investigations. Do you guys have anything lined up together in the near future?
No, we don't, actually.
Not at the moment. I think the last 18 months, I mean, Haley's been doing her thing with her team, and I've been doing stuff with ours, and I think, you know, our paths might cross again one day, but obviously, you know, we'll see what's going on, and if there's something we can offer, you know, Haley's team, we'll be glad to offer, to be honest. Because,
definitely.
You know, literally just down the road.
Now, Haley, do you guys have a medium on your team?
We don't, no. We used to, and I think this is where a lot of people look at me and go, oh my God, what is she saying? Because we don't use mediums or psychics or sensitives on our team, simply because, and this is what people get, you know, oh my God, what's she saying? It's just that we don't feel, it's a group collective, we don't feel that we can, if we go on the word of somebody who says they have mediumistic ability or psychic ability, there is no material proof there that we can offer to a location owner to say that that person is definitely telling the truth. And we don't like to base our investigation on the word of that person, you know, and possibly offer an explanation to the location, saying this is who you've got haunting your location, and then leave just in case, you know, they're wrong.
Right.
It's a lot to put on one person, and I'm sure people out there have heard of the paranormal challenge by James Randi, and a lot of people go, oh God, that thing is, you know, it's not winnable. But no medium's ever really been able to win it with a double blind test in place, and it kind of makes me back off a bit and think, well, I don't want to go into these locations where people are at their wits' end, you know, people who are afraid to go to sleep at night without a light on, people who are afraid to be in their home on their own, and go in with somebody who claims they can speak to the dead, maybe give them a message that they don't want to hear. It's happened in the past. I've had a supposed medium on location with me, and they've terrified the person in that home, you know, so much more than they were originally, and I felt guilty because I'd taken that person in there.
Right.
Now, obviously, people have the belief in mediums, and I'm extremely open-minded about it, you know, and I'd love for somebody to come up to me and prove to me that they can speak to the dead, but it's never actually really happened. And when we go into a location, our aim is to look for a logical cause as to what may have caused what somebody witnessed,
right.
Rather than going in there to prove to them that they've got a ghost. That's why we don't use mediums, we don't use table tipping, Ouija board, glass divination, dowsing, or anything like that. We just try and look for possible causes, you know.
Right.
Because sometimes if people are scared in their house, that they might not rationalise what they're witnessing, and so we go in and we do that for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ray, I know you guys do use a medium, and we've got Sarah Jane, and she's, you know, a sensitive, but she doesn't walk around and say, you know, I'm picking up Uncle Bob over here in the corner and, you know, things like that. But using Sarah Jane as a sensitive, she can often pick up on things that, you know, just to sort of warn us, possibly, of what's in the area or the property. And then we just try and back that up with some of the equipment, you know, and just we use the combine the two together to try and support each other's evidence. Is that how you see it, Ray?
Well, to be honest, we've yet to do our first investigation with Lee, so we've met Lee several times, and we've spoken to Lee, and we like what we see. If you remember, I said he's very unconventional.
Right.
I see him as this Ian Lorman type,
mm-hmm.
not with his ability, but that kind of bad boy image. And I think he's going to be very different. I mean, he won't take any prisoners. If he thinks something's not there, he's going to say it. He's not one of these mediums that will try and, you know, as soon as they walk in the building, they've got something. That's the impression that I get from Lee. And I'm very excited to work with him. Plus, he's also interested in the investigation side of stuff as well.
Well,
he's not just the medium. He also wants to invest. He also wants to, you know, do vigils and you know, get involved in the after research and bits and pieces. But recently, we've investigated without a medium, and we've gone in blind to a location with not knowing anything, and it's really quite exciting to do that.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, we've even done. Sam and myself have actually sat in the ivory rooms all night on our own.
Mm-hmm.
You're mad.
No equipment. Yeah, mad. No equipment. No, just torches. Obviously, cell phones. Just some snacks, coffee. And we sat on the sofa and covered up with the duvet, and we just sat and talked. And it's a very strange thing to do, because the amount of strange things you hear once, you know, 3-4 in the morning, once the streets have cleared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you did that, because that place is probably up there on one of the scariest places I've ever been. I remember quite clearly you and me being down there before everybody else arrived.
I pooped myself, love. I pooped myself.
When we were in that room and you're watching the DVD player, and then something hissed behind us, and we both legged it up those stairs so fast. I don't know how you could spend the whole night there on your own with just Sam as company. I would be a wreck. Even though I'm quite sceptical when I go into a location, I would still be a wreck. Because that place.
Yeah, definitely.
Where's that? The ivory rooms.
Yeah,
unfortunately, it's they no longer let people in there. It's become very derelict and it's in a bad state of repair. And the person who I originally had access via with the keys and stuff, they no longer own the building. And it's very sad, because it's a wonderful place.
Huh.
But it's interesting, because whatever goes in there, it doesn't last no more than a year or 6 months.
Really?
Very interesting. But whether it's because it's, you know, the economic climate that's been, you know, playing,
right,
you know, with their business over the years, I don't know.
Huh.
It's just strange.
It's a very atmospheric building. It's got a lot of character, and it's got a great history as well. And when you go down, you are underground, aren't you? You're under the road level. And just knowing that is very old brickwork. You've got the original cells there and everything, and it really does get to you. You're underground. It's all cold and damp, and you're in the cells, and you're like, oh my God, what could be here with me? And it does. No matter how much you try and get that out of your mind, you can't. In that location, you just feel creeped all the time. At least I do. I feel creeped.
So what about that EVP then? That EVP,
that
Scottish guy, and we all left the building, and I had the only key. Do you remember?
Yeah, I did. We set dictaphones up all over the location. And we all left the building. We went down the road for about probably half an hour to an hour. Went back. And then when we played it back, there was a voice saying, was it, you see me now?
Scottish guy, wasn't it? Can you see me there?
Really?
Can you see me there or something? Clear as day.
Okay.
I've got a clue what caused that. Because I'm quite, again, with EBP, I'm quite sceptical of that. But that one, it was no power suggestion with that. You couldn't mistake the words, can you see me there or can you see me now? It was just as clear as somebody standing opposite you and saying it. It was amazing.
Okay.
Then we did a vigil, Gil, in one of the cells which had the original door. So there's a few of us in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Hayley, Chrissy, Vicky, and myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
I think they had a film crew with us as well. That college crew.
They were not with us on that one. There was yourself, me, Vicky, Chrissy, and I think James is in there as well.
And it was really weird, wasn't it? Because we had the lights out, we were talking, and all of a sudden Vicky said something, and she was actually sat on glass, and then there was bits of glass everywhere, but the whole building has been swept and cleaned. There's no glass, there's no glasses,
uh-huh.
You know, in this place anymore.
And when you go into a location, one of the first things you do is check your surroundings, you familiarise yourself, and there was no broken glass in that cell at all, otherwise we wouldn't have sat on it. And it disappeared underneath all our legs, and it was just very weird. And it also happened in another location, didn't it? Was it the Shires?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
In the Shire shopping centre, the shards of broken glass appeared out of nowhere. And then
just getting a message that someone wants to glass me.
Yeah, well, that's really strange.
I hope not.
That's really bizarre.
It was for it to happen in two locations that are completely not linked at all, and for both of those locations to be close to the public. The Shire Shopping Centre, for example, once it closes its doors to the public, it's cleaned thoroughly. Any debris is gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Ivory Rooms, that it's empty. Like Ray said, it's now probably it's derelict, and it was empty at the time. It wasn't open. So for this glass to appear out of nowhere, it was very, very bizarre.
I think one of the most remarkable things that we experienced when investigating together is when we were walking around the shopping centre and we heard that child's voice. Do you remember that?
I did. That was the first paranormal occurrence I ever experienced, and it was strange. We were walking around the Shire shopping centre. It's a huge, huge place.
Mm-hmm.
Really tall. It's really echoey. It's got glass ceiling and everything. And as I mentioned, it's close to the public. And the group of us were walking around. I think we'd just done our recce, haven't we? And we were just walking back to where we had our cases and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were walking down, we were all talking and messing around. And suddenly it becomes clear to us all that we can hear this child kind of humming a tune about 10 feet away from where we are.
Okay.
And we all stopped dead. And as soon as we stopped dead, the singing stops. And we heard like little footsteps running away from us.
Really?
Down the mall between the shops. And that was just really strange. It was amazing to experience, because we all experienced it. There was probably about 12 people there, wasn't there?
Uh-huh,
yeah, cool. I think there was. Yeah, it was really interesting, because we all stopped dead in our tracks, and we all looked at each other and thought, Christ, no, that's not just happened.
Yeah.
No, it was
exciting.
I bet. That's really cool.
And also, supposedly, the story behind the Shires is that it used to be a mill, a woolen mill, which is what Trowbridge is very famous for, is the wool that it used to produce. And of course, they used to use children in the mill. And it's rumoured that the shopping centre is haunted by children that were killed whilst working in the mill, because it was very dangerous, obviously.
Sure.
And it's rumoured that the shopping centre is haunted by this little boy called, I think his name's Joshua. And on an investigation after what I did with Ray, I was there with another team, and we were just sitting around, and we heard, one of the shops is called the Early Learning Centre, it's got all like toys for young children in it, and we heard a piano starting to play from the Early Learning Centre.
Really?
Yeah, and obviously we couldn't access the shop because it was about midnight, so me and one of my teammates went in. The day after, being as dedicated as we are, went into the Early Learning Centre, and lo and behold, there's a piano in the middle of the shop, and we start playing with it. We probably look like right idiots, you know, sitting in the middle of the shop playing the piano. and it's exactly what we'd heard. We actually inquired with the store manager, mm-hmm. does this piano, is it set to play randomly, you know, throughout the day?
Right.
He said no, that it's actually powered by batteries, and it only plays when you press the keys.
Okay.
That was really interesting as well.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick break, about 3 minutes. We're talking to Ray Jordan and Haley Stevens, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
When a child is abducted, every second counts.
That's why the station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System,
helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet broadcasting community and this station.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk. Join the Soul Seekers live every Friday night from 9 to 11 p.m. London time, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, for paranormal discussions with special guests from around the world, right here on Para-X Radio.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
This is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know, I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
For the latest news in the paranormal world, listen to Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio live on Para-X every Friday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. London time. That's 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
We're back. Thanks for joining us tonight. We've got two special guests, Mr. Ray Jordan and Ms. Haley Stevens. Are you there with me?
We are.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Right?
I am too.
Thanks so much for joining us. I just had my 2-minute coughing fit while we were on our break. Tell me about Bad Psychics, Haley. Everybody, I'm sure, is aware of the website.
Oh, I'm sure they are. It's got quite a reputation. Bad Psychics, where to begin? it's run by a guy called John Donis.
Yeah.
It was started by his cousin Nick, but John took over when Nick couldn't carry on running it. And it's got quite a bad reputation amongst believers of ghosts and paranormal and people who believe in the mediumistic ability. And I can see why. I used to kind of go, oh, what a stupid sight when I was a big believer.
Right.
Their purpose is to educate the public on how people can trick you into believing that they can speak to your dead relatives, or could tell your fortune,
sure,
or can heal your illnesses, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very good website. It gives you information on how you can be tricked, and you can be tricked. I mean, there may be, like I said before, I'm open-minded about the existence of mediums who have the ability to talk to the dead and psychics and so on. But if they are real, which it is possible that they are, you do have people out there who do prey on the vulnerable and who do fake the ability.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
Sure.
And the website not only educates people on how it's possible to be tricked, they also expose famous people who are in the public eye a lot, who have been shown to fake what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is questionable. People have mixed beliefs on it, on what the content of the website. People who believe in the people that have been exposed, people who don't believe that people who've been exposed have mediumistic ability.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Psychics also has some sister sites that have bad homeopathy and bad ghosts,
right,
that report on their retrospective subjects. And again, it's a bit like Bad Psychics. Bad homeopathy reports on fraudulent healers and people like that, medicines, and bad ghosts reports on fraudulent practice within ghost hunting, basically, fake photographs, uncritical journalism and things like that. And they've also got the forums, which can be really interesting. Some of the discussions that happen on there are very, very funny.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's...
Hayley, am I on there again?
No, you're not. Not that I know of, anyway. I haven't seen you on there.
Fantastic.
Now, there isn't any that I've noticed last time I looked on there. You know, all the mediums that are out in the forefront now, whether that's been on television or books, but they all seem to be listed on there.
Yeah. Basically, there is a long list on the left hand of the website called Bad Psychics, and there's also a list called Good Psychics.
Mm-hmm.
That has nobody on it, which seems kind of biased, really. But I do know that each investigation that is done on the website is done thoroughly, and as the admins on the site said, they wouldn't say something unless they thought it was real, because obviously they would then be up for certain legal action taken against them.
Mm-hmm.
What they do report in each article, each medium or psychic or sensitive listed on that site has, if you click on the name, it then takes you to retrospective articles about them.
Mm-hmm.
And each article does have facts in there that are taken from these people's own websites or from transcripts of their readings and such. Nothing that's on there is made up. It can be linked back to sources of information all over the net or from other sources as well.
Right.
And of course, I'm believers in mediumistic ability and such.
Mm-hmm.
Can be highly offended by the content of the website, and I can understand that fully.
Sure.
But also, what's interesting is that Bad Psychics, especially the forum, has many members there that are believers, some even who believe that they have mediumistic ability themselves. And it's really quite balanced there. The discussions are balanced, you know. Bad Psychics is seen as being a very close-minded site, when in fact it's not. It's not close-minded. If you go onto the forums, anybody mm-hmm. is welcome on the forums, no matter what their beliefs. You know, everybody's point of view is listened to. All that the guys over on Bad Psychics want is proof, you know.
Right, right.
If that makes sense.
I do have to admit that John Donis isn't one of my most favorite people.
No, he's very outspoken, and very to the point as well. And a lot of people who John comes up against do kind of take it personally, which I can understand fully.
Sure.
But also, I can also sort of understand where John is coming from as well, from his point of view of wanting to expose people who may be fraudulent. And it's one of those sites that's out there. It's really out there with opinions, you know, and it's in your face. And that's why a lot of people get offended by it, I believe.
Right. Well, I'll tell you the reason why he isn't one of my most favorite people. He used to talk to Sarah Jane quite a bit. And
right.
To quote what he called her, I mean, Sarah Jane was in tears, so of course that sort of pissed me off. But he called Sarah, I mean, if I could reach through the internet, I would have strangled him. But, I mean, just to see her crying because of the abuse he was giving her. But, I mean, he called her a freak and a stupid idiot. You know, just because.
Really?
Yeah. And she's a sensitive. And, you know, being more sensitive. But, yeah, I mean, he's very abusive when he talks to people. I do know that.
I have been on the receiving end of that. My team, before I became a lot more rational, the team before, we did used to do table tipping and glass divination. Mm. And I was in contact with John regarding the site, and he went onto my website, saw all of this stuff about table tipping and stuff, and he was quite harsh, disappointed in an email about me, and I was like, how rude, you know,
yeah.
How rude to challenge my beliefs, and it was kind of like the shock factor that somebody had been so to the point, and I don't believe that there is any need for rudeness.
No, there's not.
And obviously, I don't know the details of what happened between John and Sarah, so I don't want to comment.
Right.
And cause any like grievance around that
understand.
Because I don't know the points to that story. But I don't believe. I mean, the paranormal field has so many people involved in it with a diverse range of beliefs. I think it would be so much better if everyone could just get on.
Oh yeah,
but
definitely.
At the same time, I understand why bad psychics do expose people who are fraudulent and do
right.
teach people how to be careful. But at the same time, perhaps they don't need to be so harsh.
Right, I agree. 100% with that. But he claims that he's not in the country because of all the threats against his life. So I can understand if that's how he talks to everybody. But whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I do know that he does get some threats, and I've seen the consultation on the forum as well.
Mm.
And I can see why people do that, but also I think people can probably see why bad psychics, bad ghosts, etc., do what they do as well.
Sure.
I think it's fair what they do, because people do learn to be careful, because people do get conned out of a lot of money.
Yeah, they do.
And if you're clever, you can really take people for a ride. And I think people who do con in the business, maybe, if you know, they take the whole trade of, not trade is the wrong word, but the whole mediumistic ability and psychic ability, and they give it a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And so something does need to be done to address that, you know, there are cons out there, people who are conning innocent people. But at the same time, I think we have to remember that it's not necessarily the case for everybody that has these abilities.
Hmm, true. I agree. I've been asked to ask you about, you know, on YouTube, you can see all these clips, especially from Most Haunted, you know, little excerpts and unseen footage and things like that. And I'm sure everybody's aware of the Mary Loves Dick clip.
Yes. I'm sure they are.
Do you have any insight on that clip?
Insight on it.
Is it real? Or was it a staged?
I think it was part of the real investigation of their filming. I do know that it was actually filmed during the day. In full colour, and it was actually tinted green to make it look like it was done at night and on night vision, and as part of the live show. When it wasn't, it was filmed prior to the live show. That's something that the Bad Psychics team were told by their mysterious Most Haunted mole, who nobody knows who that is. But they actually do have the footage as well on there of the clip in full colour, which is quite interesting, because I remember watching that live show and seeing it in night vision.
Right.
And then for it to appear in colour, it's like, you know, what was going on there?
Huh.
But that's quite interesting. But I think that's just humorous. It's really quite funny.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure. Maybe Derek Okora was having a bit of a laugh, but the look on Yvette's face is priceless. That was brilliant.
It is. I would assume that he didn't realise what he was saying.
It comes across that way.
Yeah.
And I think probably watching it back, you probably thought, oh, God, what was I thinking?
I know a lot of their, you know, they claim we'll spend the next 24 hours in this location. It's actually at least 3 days that they spend, you know, shooting an episode.
Yeah, I would imagine they would need more than 24 hours there just to get enough material to fit a show.
Okay.
If you imagine, I mean, anybody who's been on a paranormal investigation, I mean, ours can run anywhere between 5 hours and 10 hours before. We've been, you know, it depends really on the location.
Mm.
And to get as much material as they do in a show, it's phenomenal. We never get that much occurring on our investigations, so
exactly.
I see why they would need to do it over a longer period of time.
And if you know...
Can I ask a question, Gil?
Oh, of course you can. Yes.
Recently on the Most Haunted Live, I actually was on my bed and I was on the laptop and I had it on in the background because I'm... As much as, you know, a lot of people don't like it, I'm curious about it as well.
Sure.
And they did... They did an experiment where they were all nailed into coffins.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
That was the Portsmouth. That was a while back, wasn't it? Or was
No. It was this just gone.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Did you believe that was real, what they were experiencing, or do you think it's fake, or...
I
don't know. What was your take on it?
Well, like you, I had it on in the background, and all I saw was each individual webcam, you know, of their face inside, you know, the coffin. I will admit that I did go to a Most Haunted Live a couple of years ago in Portsmouth, where he and Carl and Ian Shillito were buried, I think, together in one big coffin.
I remember that, yeah.
And I do know for a fact that was not live, because they told us in the audience that it wasn't live, but they were just going to make it appear to be live. So as far as this last one, if I'm going on what I saw in Portsmouth, I'd have to say no, it probably wasn't.
What about you, Hayley? Did you see it at all?
No, I didn't see it, actually. I did hear about them being in the coffins, and I was like, oh my God, they're crazy. I'd never do that. What you're saying about them not being live the first time that they all got into the same coffin, that kind of ties in with the whole Mary Loves Dick episode. So, you know, that one not being live but being shown as live. So I can believe that happened, definitely.
That's just the magic of television, though, isn't it?
Exactly. And again, like I said before, we have to remember that these shows are for entertainment.
Sure.
And, of course, they have to get their viewing figures in, otherwise they're not achieving what they've set out to do.
Exactly.
And, of course, they're going to do it any way they can.
Exactly. And I've always noticed things, too. If you look at the earlier Most Haunteds and the evidence that they'd get, at first, the first maybe season or two season, it was always orbs. That was always the big thing. And then the next two seasons, it would be like a step up, like maybe stones or something would be thrown. The next two seasons, you know, would be more like, you know, Stewart being punched or thrown or knocked off his feet. And, you know, every few seasons, they've got to keep stepping it up to keep the viewers interested, or else it's just going to go down the drain.
There's this big question as well as, were they, at the beginning of the show, were they maybe, what they were experiencing was the truth, and then did they have to then start stepping it up to make it more exciting for their viewers? And there are these big questions about the truthfulness behind it, and it does, like you said, where it steps up in the phenomena, it does make you question it sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, it does. What do you think, Ray?
I don't know. I've got mixed opinions. I'll keep them close to my chest for now. I'm being diplomatic.
Leading the fifth on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do you hold in the future for your project, Ray? What's coming up for you?
Basically, I'm what can I say? we're carrying on with the investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure whether we're going to have another series of Paranormal 5, because of the regional TV cuts and the economic climate, most of the regional TV programming has been cut, so unfortunately there's not going to be a second season on ITV West, so we may get picked up again, we might not. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it's been an experience to do it. I'm appearing on a cooking show later on in the year as one of the guests. It's actually on a gay TV, can you believe? The show's called Two Puffs in a Pan.
Is it really?
It's and they asked me, would I like to go on? I said, yeah, I'll go on.
That's funny.
It's a cooking program, and I think it'll be a right who. So I said, yes. And I'm also working with that channel in development at the moment for a new sort of entertainment-based TV program as well.
Okay.
And there's a couple of other presenting avenues I'm looking to explore, which are actually outside of the paranormal as well.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And the IPA Awards, any more news on that as far as where or when?
Laura's actually in the chat room now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, Laura's in the chat room.
Hello,
Jeff's in the chat room.
Sarah Jane handles all that for me, so I'm just looking at your website.
I think Laura will announce more, as soon as she gets more details. I think there's quite a lot of bits and pieces to sort out on that sort of scale of an award ceremony.
And we look forward to that, and hopefully, fingers crossed, if we win the lottery, we can make it over to the States to attend that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd like to do more investigating overseas, having done it in Mexico.
Right.
It's inspired me to, get off your home ground and go abroad to do more.
You and I talked about that on the podcast, but some of the listeners may have not been able to hear that archive, but it sounded very interesting how different the investigation is over there than it is here.
It is. I think the way we do stuff and the way that the Mexicans do investigation are completely different. I personally find that the Mexicans have more of a respect. I'm not saying the British don't, but the way that they embrace the paranormal, the spirituality, it's just, you have to see it to understand where I'm coming from, but it's an amazing thing to do.
Do you think they have the same problems as paranormal groups here and in the States, as far as the competitiveness? And
In America, probably.
No, in Mexico.
Vouch for that. But in Mexico, I would say no. I personally don't think, from my short time over there, that there was any rivalry whatsoever.
That's good. Hopefully for them it stays that way. I know in the States it's pretty much just as bad. Some of the other guests we've spoke to, the problems that are here in the UK and in the States are exactly the same.
Yeah, definitely.
So no plans to go back to Mexico yet?
Not at the moment, because obviously there's so much happening in the next 6 months. But one day I'd love to return. I'm hoping to go over to LA to do some stuff as well. So I'm just looking into getting an American visa right now.
Oh, are you?
So, yeah.
It's all about money.
It is. Yeah. Just because I've been on TV, a lot of people think, well, I'm a multimillionaire, but I'm still doing my day job. So, it doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
And do you and Haley have some things lined up together for the future?
Possibly somewhere down the line, it would be interesting to get the teams together again, because obviously both teams have changed dynamics.
Sure.
So yeah, it'd be interesting, I think.
Yeah, it would.
And what about your group, Haley? What do you guys have planned for the future?
Well, obviously, we're going to carry on investigating. Obviously, that's what we do. It's interesting because where we investigate the smaller locations that nobody's ever really heard of, there's no short supply of them, really. They're everywhere. It's amazing when you speak to people and you tell them what you do, you say, that you're a paranormal investigator. The stories they come out with, they have this kind of trust in you, instantly have this trust where they could tell you all the weird things they've experienced. And
right.
You get all these stories told to you, and there's no end of locations to investigate. So we'll carry on with that. Hopefully we'll be able to bring some new locations to the public eye that have these strange stories behind them. And also in August we have Weirdo 9, and it depends really where that conference goes. I mean, if that carries on, then hopefully that's something we'll be involved in with the future as well. With Chris Williams, who is the founder of SUFOR, the Swindon UFO Research Group, organising it, he also comes on our investigations with us. So we're closely linked in that way. So hopefully that's something we can go on in the future with.
Oh, cool. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be back for the last half hour, and we're talking to Ray Jordan and Haley Stevens. Be about 3 or 4 minutes, so don't go away, and we'll be right back.
Check out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's been sitting around here for a week. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. It's called A1C, a simple blood test that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. To find out more, go to www.diabetesa1c.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Etna, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
This is the Para-X Radio Network.
second counts.
That's why this station uses the Internet Radio Amber Alert System,
helping to keep your children safe. A free service of the Internet broadcasting community and this station.
All right, we're back. Just wanted to say, Kurt, that song was for you. That was Fundamentum by Lyceum. And Kurt's from Peach State Paranormal. I know he's in the chat room, and he loves that song, so that's why I played it again. So I hope you enjoyed it, Kurt. And thank everybody for joining us tonight and everybody in the chat room. And tonight we're talking to our good friend Ray Jordan and Haley Stevens from Wiltshire Phenomena Research. Sorry, my tongue was getting tied there. How you guys doing? Good still?
Yeah,
yeah, we're good.
We're in the home stretch now.
Cool.
You want to tell us about Ghost Voices magazine, Ray?
Yes, of course. Yes, I've had the greatest pleasure to start writing now, writing something I've always wanted to do, and mm-hmm. I've got an opportunity to do it with Ghost Voices magazine. Basically, it's a bi-monthly magazine. The next issue comes out, I believe, in March. First issue's out already, available on WH Smith's, and I'll be conducting the Ghostly Whispers, Ray Jordan interviews.
Oh, very cool. Now, this was their first issue, correct, the one that just came out?
Yep, their first issue came out on the 29th of January, and good, it's a total success. Because it's a no-nonsense, no-frills magazine. They tell it like it is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no skirting around subjects. And I'm going to be doing the interviews, asking the questions that, you know, people want to know but have always been too afraid to ask.
Right.
Second issue, like I said, comes out in March.
Oh, is it March?
And I'm doing some team called Soul Seekers, funny enough.
I wonder who they are.
I have no idea.
Now, people can get this at WH Smith, among other
places.
Yeah,
they can get it all over the UK in WH Smith. So if you go to ghostvoicesmagazine.com, you can even go and subscribe as well, I believe.
Cool. While you're plugging websites, you want to give your websites to the listeners.
Okay, yep, I've got my personal website, which is www.rayjordan.com, and the team's website is www.uk5paranormal.com.
Okay, cool. And Haley, it's your turn.
Mine's a little complicated than that. It's w-p-r.org.
Okay.
And okay.
Yeah, I found a blog site, too, about yours, I think, when I Googled you earlier.
My personal one, yeah. My personal one is HayleyStevens.co.uk.
Okay. How did you get into the paranormal, Haley?
That's a good question. It kind of came out of the blue, really. Obviously, if you speak to anybody who's got an interest in the paranormal, there's some personal story behind it where they've witnessed something.
Sure.
With me, it was something I kind of grew up with. My mum is a complete paranormal nut, and I can remember from a very early age that in our house, the paranormal was commonplace, really, you know, something that was openly discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember being, when Most Haunted first came out, my mum was mad about it. I can remember hiding behind her in fear while she watched these orbs on TV, and I was like, oh no, orbs, how terrible. I was absolutely frightened by them. And we had some strange things going on in our house when I was younger as well. And so it was always there. It was never like a shushed about the subject, you know.
Right.
We always talked about it. And then as I grew older, we moved house, and I started to look back at the things that we'd experienced, and I started asking questions about what was that, you know, what was it that, we used to have things like light bulbs being thrown down the stairs, and weird, really weird things happening. And the more I thought about it, the more I realised that actually that wasn't normal. It shouldn't have been happening. It wasn't explainable.
Right.
And I started researching into it myself by, like, going to the library, looking online, and I found that I wasn't really finding anything that I wanted to know. You know, I wasn't answering the questions. And so one day I was like, you know what, I'm going to go out there to these other places that are having the same kind of experiences, and I'm going to try and work out what's going on. And that's really where it started. And at the beginning, I really didn't have much of a clue what I was doing. Kind of jumped in the deep end, really, and had to learn how to swim, and here I am 3 and a bit years later with a completely different outlook, but I've learned so much, and it's been a real fun so far.
Did you end up investigating the house you lived in where all this activity occurred?
No. It was quite scary living there with this stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And it's now owned by another family. We don't know them. So it would be very awkward to approach them, actually, and say, look, I used to live here, and I think you might have a ghost, you know. I wouldn't want to freak them out. And I think that's kind of somewhere that I wouldn't want to go, because if I was to discover, I might discover something about that house that would tarnish, like, the memories of growing up there, really. Mm-hmm. But going to other places, you kind of see patterns emerging in phenomena. Like, we investigated a small hotel who had light bulbs being thrown down the stairs in the same manner that we had at our house. And you're like, oh, well, this is interesting. It wasn't just me then, you know.
And Ray, how about you? How did you break into the wonderful world of the paranormal?
Oh, well, you know, as a kid, it's all stereotype, I think, and, you know, I was interested in the ghosties and the goonies and playing, you know, my granddad's cellar, because that's my first memories, that's the first memories I have of the paranormal, looking for ghosts and playing and, you know, all that kind of childhood thing. But I think it wasn't really until my two friends died in 1999 that my journey really spiraled. I've been talking for a while about putting a team together with this close friend who unfortunately I no longer speak to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2005, I think it was just after Hayley actually launched her team.
Mm-hmm.
That we did our first event on Halloween 2005.
Really?
And so from there to here, I've just been, you know, steadily investigating and researching and, you know, changing the way I think and feel, and I'm enjoying myself, and it's a never ending learning process, and it's enjoyable if you do it the right way.
Exactly, I agree. That's the way I look at it. You're always learning, you know. You have some people that think they know it all and are their way is the only way, but I totally disagree with that, because we can learn so much from each other. Everybody has different techniques and different protocols and, you know, different theories. And, you know, none of us know for sure. None of us have the right answers, but if we could all learn from each other, it'd be so much better.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the world's in quite a state with, you know, wars going on and this and that and the other, you know. It'd be lovely just to have some kind of harmony, unity, you know, within the paranormal.
And I think as well, it's quite important to remember that the paranormal essentially, well, the word paranormal means, you know, that cannot be explained by the known rules of science. So for people to believe that they know everything it's not right, you know, because nobody knows. That's the whole thing about the paranormal, it's the unknown.
Sure.
And there's always going to be questions that have to be answered. So it's a never-ending kind of like exploration of it, really.
Right, exactly. And I know I won't mention any names, but there's a particular organization that they like to be the only ones to get any kind of evidence. If another team catches some good evidence, they'll be the first ones to say, you know, it's not genuine. It's just for the simple fact, because they are not the ones that got the evidence. And I'm sure they're not the only group out there, the ones I'm thinking of, but, you know, it's sad, really, that it's that way.
Well, I mean, I've known teams in my time which have actually put themselves on TV because they think that was their fast-track ticket to, you know, celebrity status and TV status, but sadly it didn't work, and that has been their downfall.
Yeah.
I can't mention any names, but...
No, you know, I know you do. And I agree. I think when you're presenting yourself in the public eye as a paranormal researcher, you have to be thorough with your research, because it's easy for people to pick your work, your research pieces, and if you haven't been as thorough as you can be, and there's this one little thing that people can get a hold on, it can really ruin your reputation.
Sure.
Because I actually posed a question to Mark Webb, who was, who's, as you know, he's on a couple of TV programs, mm-hmm. you know, Living with the Dead and Haunted Homes. And
right.
I posed a question to Mark, but Mark couldn't actually answer it. He was floored by my question, because he couldn't get into the politics of it all, because it's still going through some Ofsted ruling, apparently, or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
To do with this team that were on TV, put it that way.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. The team who had a spiritual bouncer.
A spiritual bouncer?
Yes, apparently he was a spiritual bouncer.
Huh, interesting.
I'm not saying anything on that subject, because the more you get into it, the more bizarre it is, and it's just mind-boggling, really, the whole story around that.
Do you think there's a chance that, you know, the paranormal world will unite and sort out its differences?
I would like to think so, one day.
I don't know if unite is the right word, really. I mean, like I said before, people are so diverse in their belief systems, you know. But I can see maybe not everybody going on the same track and believing the same things. But I can see people just, like, coexisting. It would be really, really nice. Like you said, but I hope so. I hope that people could learn to coexist with beliefs. And I know that in the past, when that incident at that pub happened, where we found the landlord hiding behind the door, that really, really turned me into... Quite a sceptical person.
Right.
But over the last few months or so, I've kind of taken a step back and reassessed my position on that, and I am still quite rational in my research, but I tend to remain a lot more open-minded than I was before. And I think that people just do need to sit back and say, you know, hey, I believe in this, but they don't believe in that. They believe in what they choose to believe in, and that's their right, and nothing I can say is going to make them change, because, you know, people can only change for themselves. And just accepting that everybody has a difference of opinion, I think, is the only way that people are ever going to be able to coexist.
Right. Well, so many groups have so many different goals, too. I mean, some groups just like to go out for the fun of it, and there's some groups that, you know, want to try and bring proof to the public of the paranormal. You know, there's groups that all they're worried about is fame and fortune. I think a lot of it has to do with that too. You know, what their goal is for the future. You know, what their their outcome.
I mean, I can honestly say, Gil, that doing the TV series was the most tiring thing I have ever done. Mm. It's not a glamorous thing. You know, you don't get trailers. You don't get a dinner car come round for your meals. You just get a meal allowance, and then you're told to go and get your lunch.
Yeah.
When you're not filming, you sit in the car, because some of the houses were very private and very small.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we did one week, just back-to-back all week of investigations. And, you know, it's tiring. I mean, it takes a long time, as you're probably aware of, with the TV stuff. It takes a long time to film something.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it's not just whipping up the camera and, you know, getting you into place and doing this. You have to, you know, remember the lighting, the sound, the continuity, you know, the noddy shots, the POVs, and all, you know, everything.
Exactly.
It's not glamorous, and it's not all it's cracked up to be honest.
No, it's a big misconception. And what
it is,
you mentioned earlier that you and Sam in the Ivory Rooms, I think, you just, you know, went and spent the night with some snacks and some tea, and I mean, that's just as good a paranormal investigation. I mean, you're not out to prove anything. You're just going there for yourselves and, you know, to see what you can pick up. And a lot of times,
went there just to be at one with the building,
right.
You know, because you don't know what happens when you leave the building. So we stayed there all night. And, you know, not only did we have an interesting time, you know, listening and hearing almost like a barrel rolling around the floor, even though there's no barrels in the building. You know, we also had a nice time bonding as investigators and as friends as well. And you know, it was a lovely thing to do. And I'm very much up for doing stuff like that again. And I believe next month, Sam and I are doing it again, but in a different location in Warminster. We're just going to spend the night there.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you don't need lots of high-tech equipment and things. The best, you know, piece of equipment to do ghost hunting yourself, actually.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, it's people that have experiences and witness these things, and not the equipment. And a piece of equipment could tell you a reading, it can give you a reading, but it can't tell you if it's paranormal.
Sure.
And so some of the equipment out there could be quite misleading to people.
Exactly. Like we said, it's all theories anyways that this equipment, you know, backs up any evidence whatsoever. So I know there's some people that beg to differ with that, you know, all the gadgets. But I mean, we use the gadgets too, but like we said, there's no proof. Hopefully it supports some of the other findings, but, you know, the best, like you said, the best thing is just yourself and what you pick up on your own and with your senses or what you see.
Definitely. And, and personally speaking, I would like to start doing more joint investigations, because the only joint investigation I've ever done is either with Haley's team, and Haley, you had that other team along with you. Was it Grave Investigations?
Grave Investigations, yeah.
It was like a three-way investigation. And apart from that, I've never, ever done any joint investigations with the team, purely because we've kept ourselves to ourselves. But
right.
I think now this year we would like to start working with other teams, and I believe we mentioned about doing stuff with you guys.
We'd love to do a joint investigation with you guys. That'd be great.
It can be interesting when you work for other people as well, because different teams have different ways of doing things. Little methods they pick up as they're doing their own thing, and you can pick up some really useful tips from them.
Exactly.
Oh, I totally agree, because there's some stuff that, you know, there's stuff that I've learned by just watching people, and I've actually questioned and asked, you know, why do you do that for? What kind of results do you get from that? Mm-hmm. Do you find it's benefited you? And then I'll take maybe that and I'll start using it if I can.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's like you said, it's a learning curve. Something just popped into my mind, I just remembered.
Steady on.
it's come to our attention that there's a big investigation, I forget the date. I want to say the 21st, but a place called Caesar's Palace. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
And that I heard that there's like 2,200 tickets available.
Jeez, really?
That's what I've heard.
Do you know why they're doing that for? It's because Caesar's is meant to be pulled down in March.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I heard about that, yes. A lot of large dance halls are being pulled down, aren't they? Because they're just not pulling in the customers anymore.
It's a real shame, because this place has got good connections and good links to, like, London's past. And
Isn't that the place that Ruth Ellis is meant to haunt? She was the last woman hanging in England, wasn't she?
Yeah, I actually spoke to Fred Batt about it.
Really?
Because I wanted to hold Famous Men 2 there in March, on March 11th, on my birthday. But unfortunately, he said he couldn't confirm that I could go there with Famous and Frightened, because it probably wouldn't be standing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I thought it'd be a really, really different venue to hold the charity event and then do the celebrity charity auction maybe the day after to raise the funds. Because we've started to plan the event totally different than the very first one, and with different people as well.
Huh.
But there we go. I personally wouldn't go to an event like that.
No, I was going to say, I can't imagine an investigation with 2,200 other people.
It would just be out of your control, really. You wouldn't be able to determine what was what, really, would you? You know, if you hear something, you'd be like, was it you, was it you, was it you, was it you?
And, you know, if you were doing a vigil, you get all these people walking past, fanning around, you know, and you wouldn't be able to get a really good idea of or comprehend what an investigation is about. So
I can't believe that baffles me how they would do that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't. It's not, you know, written in stone, but that's the word that's out there in the paranormal, that they're selling tickets to this event. And there's 2,200 tickets available, but if it was to help them raise money, then all for it. But I can't.
To be honest, Gil, I don't think the venue could hold that many people.
I was going
to
ask that. That was
over
my next
several nights.
Yeah, that was
it could be over several nights just to get them all in, I suppose. Yeah, because it's not overly huge, is it?
No, they must have a limit because of the fire risk or security.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, what have you.
I know nothing of this place other than the owner, who he is, but, you know, I don't know the size or anything. I just thought it was strange that so many tickets for a ghost hunt.
Yeah, definitely. It just, that does seem kind of adventurous on their part.
Well, I wish them luck if they do it all in one night. I wish them luck, and I take my toupee off for them. I really do. It's not my back.
That would have to be like a world record or something, surely, you know.
They are doing that, though, aren't they? They are doing that in June. It's called the world's biggest or longest paranormal investigation. I believe it's held up north somewhere.
Is it? Yeah, I saw that somewhere. I can't remember where.
They're going to have Guinness Book of Records in it or something like that.
See, now that's just, I think, for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
a ghost hunt for the wrong reasons, just to be in the Guinness Book of
Records. They've probably got good intentions to do it, but yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, you can't do a serious investigation with something like that, like you said.
No, totally. Well, how are they going to, you know, get the results?
Exactly.
All those people, you know, flying around everywhere, screaming.
What if something happens and they all get petrified and they all go running out? That would just be it over then. They won't get the record.
I think that was, somebody tried doing that before, though, didn't they? I remember seeing on TV a few years ago the biggest ghost hunt. They had all these people come in droves. I don't remember where it was at. Somewhere.
Wasn't that Olsen Towers or somewhere like that?
I'm not sure. I remember somebody doing it on television.
I know also that a couple of years ago, I don't know if you've heard of Craigynos Castle in Wales.
Sure.
I think it was over Halloween one year, one of the guys involved there did a week-long investigation on his own, and it was live on webcam, and he was there for the whole week on this floor that's supposedly haunted.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be there for quite a while if they were going to beat that, I think.
Yeah. Huh. No, I missed that one. I didn't know about that one. I hear that's an excellent place, that Craigynos.
Yeah.
Well, I need to thank you guys for being on with us tonight. Our time is up. I want to thank all our listeners who joined us tonight. And Ray, once again, thank you so much for supporting us and helping us and all the help you've given us lately. We really appreciate it. And Haley, it's been a pleasure meeting you, and so glad you could come on at the last minute.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have to I'll keep in touch, and like we said, hopefully we can do an investigation together soon. That'd be awesome. Okay. But both of you, thanks again so much for being on. And everybody, make sure you join us next Friday night at the same time, 9 to 11, 4 to 6 Eastern, here on Para X. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Broadcasting live from London every Friday from 9 to 11 p.m., 4 to 6 Eastern, the Soul Seekers bring you the latest topics and most influential guests in the paranormal world right here on Para X Radio.
This is James Riley from Ballistic Evidence, and you are listening to the best in everything paranormal on Soul Seekers Supernatural Radio.
This is the Para X Radio Network.
out our website at soulseekers.org.uk.